Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 170 all the stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 170.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read together this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and of the first chapter, beginning by verse 12. Acts 1, beginning by verse 12. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 1, beginning by verse 12. They then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath's day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in a proper tongue, El Soldema, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and let his bishopric let an other take. Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard out of thy word of a Judas who did fall away. O thou knowest all our hearts. Is it true within us, O Lord? Are we also a hypocrite? Do we also deceive ourselves? Then it is possible in the midst of our confession, it is possible even in the midst of an office. Oh, that thou may give to us truth in the inward parts. And oh, that thou wouldst take away all the hypocrisy, give us to be upright before thee. And wilt thou cause us to receive a place at thy precious footstool. And thou givest unto us a place in thy house. Oh, blessed is the man that thou callest. And bringest nigh unto thee, and that in thy courts forever his dwelling place may be. Oh, that thou thyself may fulfill it in this afternoon hour, for he shall also be satisfied with grace. And we cannot miss that grace of thee because of our unworthiness and because of our sin. Because we are from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, nothing but polluted and sinful and wretched creatures in thy most holy sight. And we would not want everything that is within us to be exposed to one another or unto this world. But thou dost see it all. Because thy eye does penetrate into the innermost recesses of the hearts of young and old. And thou art holy, and thou canst not dwell with sin. And yet thy long suffering over us is so very, very great. So that we are still permitted to continue, even to this very moment. And thou dost bless us. Above so many in this world, also in a place in thy holy house of prayer. Oh, do humble our hearts under thy great goodness, but wilt thou also open that word? For we cannot receive it always to our ears and never to our hearts and have it be well. As we have to depart also out of this life to give an account for every word, not only that we have spoken in this world, but also that we have heard and that thou hast given to come unto our ears. Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst open thy holy book, that thou wouldst give a little light from heaven, that we may have it shine upon that word, that our hearts may be pricked, that they may be opened as the heart of a Lydia, that we also may attend in this hour to the things that are spoken, that thy word may receive a place in our hearts, that we may go out of this place different than we have come in, that we may be struck by thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, we wait upon thee, and we wait for the coming of that Spirit that thou hast promised, even on that day of Pentecost, for thou hast never taken back that word, and thou didst promise that it will go forth even unto the ends of the earth, to the ends of the world, to the last day. And we with our children, and we are still here in this world, and we are permitted to gather under the outward services. But what shall it now profit us, except to increase our judgment? O Lord, we beseech thee then, have thou mercy upon our poor souls. Look upon thy own dear children, for thou knowest where that they are. Thine elect, oh, it can be that they are yet still in that state of guilt, that they are still apart from thee, that they are still walking after the course of this world, whether it be in a way of profligacy in this world, or whether it be in a way of a piety in the midst of thy church, even as a Pharisee, even as a Saul of Tarsus. But thou art able, by the power of that Spirit, to come through everything that does stand between. And thou art able to give a new life. Oh, give it unto young and old. Give a holy desire in our children and in our youth. While they are still young, that they might know that God. Oh, could it be perhaps of their father or of their mother, of their grandfather, of their grandmother, that thou wouldst work a holy jealousy. And when it is that a father and a mother must in this day say, oh, that I have no such example to give unto my dear children. Oh, Lord, give them also a cry in the midst of thy house in this day, oh, to draw near unto them also. Lord, that thou may look upon young and old, care for our children day by day as they are instructed in our own school. And wilt thou help all in that place, in every position that they may be. And wilt thou bless the labors also in the midst of our homes, when our parents do instruct their own children, when they may speak to them day by day, that they may guide them according to all thy truth, and that thou may look upon grandfathers, grandmothers, those that have become old. Remember them in all the infirmity of body and of mind together. Lord, that thou may look upon all the afflicted ones and the sick ones in this world, especially where there are serious diseases and where the messages have come. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, that thou may bless also the means for the body, but could it please thee to bless also the afflictions, that they may be brought home, and that thou thyself may deliver the soul that cries to thee in its need. Care for all those that are not able to understand anymore. When the mind has become darkened, and when the light of the intellect is no more to inform, O Lord, we ask of thee, who art able to reach directly into the heart of a man, that thou may remember those also, and that thou may look upon all the nation in which we dwell, wherein that we have left thee days without number and more, to go in a path that is against thee and thy holy word. Lord, give us ourselves to stand fast with our children, because we are also fallen creatures, and we are liable also, even in an outward way, to be affected and to be drawn away more and more with those ideas that are coming out of the bottom of hell, that thou may look upon all that rule and reign over us. Give them uprightness, give them wisdom, give them faithfulness, give thy word a place upon the judgment seat and upon the legislative benches, and that thou may give, that as nations we may be drawn back unto thee, our Creator and our Maker, and may it be to seek thee as our Redeemer, as our Savior. Oh, look upon all thy servants. It is a weighty week when we hope with our brother also to travel to the curatorium meeting. Lord, thou knowest the weightiness of it, the decisions that must be made, that thou may help the instructors, the students, and wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, and wilt thou thyself gladden us with thy deeds. remember us also in this hour. Lord, we are about thy holy word, who is sufficient for these things. That our souls, they are gathered before us. A man who is born into this world that is full of trouble and will go out of this world, each one with a soul for a great eternity, a soul that will never die. Lord, we beseech thee, could it please thee to come in this hour? Could it please thee to join thyself to thy holy word with thy Holy Spirit's power, and to give that the foolishness of preaching may be blessed, may be sanctified, that thy name may be glorified, that man may be converted unto thee, the true and the living God, that thy children may be drawn back again, that those that sleep may be awakened, that those that stray may be brought back on that straight and narrow path. Lord, help us, be in the midst of us, forgiving all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164 all the stanzas. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows in Psalter 164, all the stanzas, and the last collection today is for our school. beloved congregation, when Absalom was permitted by David to return to Jerusalem, then the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. After 2 full years, we read that Absalom sent unto Joab, and he said to him, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good, he said, if I had remained there still. We know that there was deceit in the heart of Absalom. He wanted the throne, children of his father. He was a wicked son. But this argument, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good that I had been there still. That was an argument that was understood. That was an argument that was reasonable. Because Absalom said, what good does it do to me if I am so near unto my father that I am dwelling in that same city that he dwells in, when there is something else that is missing yet? And what was missing? That was communion. That was that he was not allowed to see the face of his father, that he was not allowed to speak unto his father. And thus, without this communion, that nearness that he had to his father did lose the greatest part of its value. And therefore, we wish to continue to finish, actually, if the Lord may give it in this afternoon, the words of our text that we have been considering together from 1 Peter 3, the last part of verse 18. 1 Peter 3, or the middle part of verse 18, that he might bring us to God. And we have been considering what that means, to be brought unto God. You remember that, children? And we have spoken of a certain similarity. Do you remember? So that to be brought unto God, that means that a man, he is made in a certain way like unto God. Then we spoke about the image of God that we have lost in paradise, and that the Lord is restoring in his people righteousness, holiness, and also knowledge. The knowledge of God. We have spoken about also the favor of God. Man to be brought in his favor. Once again, to be the friend of God. Yea, we have spoken, we have seen how in this last week on Ascension Day that the Lord, he does bring his children higher than that friendship. That the Lord, he is bringing his children to be sons and to be the daughters of God. And now last we said that we would say a few words about the communion with God, what it means to be brought unto God. Thus communion, what is communion? That is something that is typically experienced by us before we speak about what it is. But communion, that is a special kind of communication. You know also what communication is, children, when there is an exchange between people of ideas, of information, then it is communicated from one person to another person. But not all communication is communion, because communion, that is a very special kind of communication. What would we say that is? Well, we would say that that is an intimate communion. Thus, an exchange between persons of not just their ideas, but their intimate thoughts, their intimate feelings, that they may lay them out to one another. What is necessary in order for communion to take place? Well, then we have to have a special kind of a relation. Why? Because I am not going to tell just everyone everything that is living in my heart. I am not going to tell just a stranger the things that are very personal to me. And why not? Because in order for me to do that, I need to trust that man. I need to trust that he is not going to hurt me with that information that is so personal. Thus, when I commune with someone, then I make myself very vulnerable. And then I must be careful. Then that person first has to be trusted. That must be first a person whom that I love, and that person, he loves me. The relation between children and parents, that is one of the first relations where that communion is taking place. When children, you may go to your mother, you may go to your father, and maybe you are afraid. And you tell your mother, your father, all the fears that are living in your heart. You do that. Why? You won't tell that necessarily to everyone, because maybe there is someone else who begins to mock you. You say, "Mother will not mock me. Father will not mock me. No, I trust them, so I can tell them everything that is living in my heart." And so there is some communion with your mother, with your father. Does it stay that way, young people? May you do that also when you are 15 years old, or 16 or 17 years old still. Or do you not talk to your mother and father that way anymore? Oh, it is so good when you may grow older and you still may speak to your father. You still may speak to your mother about those things that lay in your heart. Then it is so important, parents, that that trust between us and our children that is remaining, and that they feel our love, and that we would never do anything that was going to hurt or expose them in any way. But then, later on, young people, then you are going to meet someone in this world, and you're going to have a friend. And when that friendship that is growing a little bit closer, and then you are coming more and more to trust one another, then you are going to begin to speak to one another. And then the things that you speak about, well, then they are going to include, if that trust that is growing, more of those things which are so very personal to you. Where does that communion then climax in the world in which we live? Well, we say that climaxes in that blessed relation of a husband and a wife, because we read in the Bible that those two persons, they become one flesh. And then when it is a good relation, is it that way, husbands and wives? Is it that way that we may not only communicate with one another, but is it that way that we may also commune with our husband, with our wife, that we may say everything that is living in our heart in a way of full trust with one another. Thus, as those relations, they are being established, then also that communion that is developing. Then they are beginning to trust one another with those things which are so very personal. They begin to share with one another those things, that information, that it is possible actually that it could be used against me. That information that it is possible that I be mocked with, that I be ridiculed with. But we begin to share because of that trust. And why do we want to share? How would that be if we lived all by ourselves? That there was no one to share with. He said, I like to share. Why do you like to share? Well, because you say on the one side, well, that sharing that has been such a help to me. Because when I was downcast, when I was fearful, and then I may speak of those things to my wife, to my husband, to my father, to my mother. Oh, then that has been such a help to me. And then they have helped to lift me up and to bear the burdens that were living within my heart. Thus, that is on the one side. And on the other side, well, then there were things. Well, they were such a joy to me. And those things that were such a joy to me, those were things that I delighted then to share with someone else. And when I come home from this place and that place, then it was the delight of all of us together when we may share in that joy. For we live in a broken world. We live in a world where there are so many broken families. Care for your relations, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives. Care for your relation between one another, because we live in a broken world where there are children that do not know anything about trust. They do not trust anyone. They will not share with anyone. And they are carrying burdens all by themselves over this world. And some of them are even taking their own life. But sometimes there are things that are too heavy for our wife. They are too heavy for our husband that they cannot help us with. Maybe there are some things, children, that you say, even my mother, even my father, even young people, my closest friend, well, they do not seem to understand it, or they cannot help me with it. Is that also your experience? We read about Hannah. She experienced the same, did she not? Her husband could not help her. And her husband loved her. And he would have done everything for her. But there was nothing he could do. And then where did Hannah go? Well, she went into the temple of the Lord. Do you ever go there in such a way as Hannah went? And what did Hannah do there? Well, we read that there Hannah prayed. Did you ever do that when you came in the house of the Lord? Pray, you say, I always do that. We fold our hands and we close our eyes. We know that. But did you ever do as Hannah did? When she came into the house of the Lord, she did not only pray, but we read she prayed and she wept sore. You ever do that? When you came into the house of the Lord, or when you went in your inner chamber on your knees, and you folded your hands and you closed your eyes, and maybe you had just nothing to say anymore. But you had a burden that was laying on your heart. That mother, father, husband, wife, friend, no one in this whole world could help you with. And there you lay before the Lord. And that's all you could do was begin to weep. Hannah, she didn't see anyone around her. She was in bitterness of soul. She was oblivious to everything else. And she wept sore. And what did she do there? Then she laid it there. She laid it all out before the Lord. She told the Lord everything. Everything that lived in her heart, what those burdens were, that no one else could help her to bear, that no one else could give a solution for her. And yet what she herself did go over this world, bowed down over this world. What was that? Do you recognize what that was? What Hannah did there? You say that was communion. That is right. That was communion. You say with whom? Yes, that was communion with the Lord. Congregation, is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder? There's a wonder if we may have communion with one another. But is that now not a wonder? That a man, that a woman, that a child may actually have communion with God Himself? That is now the ultimate purpose, that the Lord would bring His people again unto Himself. Not that they only may be near to Him, but if they are missing this, then that nearness that is lacking what is of the most essential value. What did Peter say? For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That He might bring us to God. That is in His image. That is in His favor. But that is above all into His communion. That is now the highest end. That is now the highest purpose of what we have heard also in this morning, of that suffering that Peter speaks about, the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, or that communion that existed before. That communion that existed in paradise. We read that the Lord God, He came unto Adam in the cool of the day. That was for a reason. That was that He may speak with him. Or that He may commune with His own creature. That is what we lost. Do you ever feel this, congregation? Or do you ever mourn over this? Do ever look a little further than all that can be received in this world? And do you ever mourn for what we have lost in our deep fall? And now what did the Lord do by that suffering? Oh, the Lord, He has established a relation, that broken relation, that has cut off that communion. The Lord, He has re-established that relation. No more. Well, correct me, right, children? You say, minister, you do not say it right. That is correct. Because He did not only re-establish that relation. What was that relation? Man, he was a friend of God. But what did we hear on Ascension Day? The Lord, he has brought that relation higher. Higher. That he is not only a friend of God anymore, but he has made him a son. He has made him a daughter. He is now their father. And Christ, we read, he is the bridegroom of his church. So we have the relation of a husband and a wife. And why? That the Lord is bringing that church into these close relations with himself. Why? That is, that he may bring his church into communion. A communion that was not possible outside of the fall of Adam and the redemption of Christ. Thus establishing a relation that he himself may bring his created being into that blessed communion with himself. You say, what does that communion now consist in? Well, then there is an exchange. What is the communion? That is an exchange, an intimate exchange of the thoughts, the most personal thoughts of the heart. That does not go just one way. No, that goes two ways. That is, from the people unto the Lord, and also the thoughts of God unto his own people. Thus we read about Hannah. Say, how is it? How is it that the people, they may express unto the Lord their inmost thought? The Bible says it is by prayer and supplication. We can see that in that life of Hannah. But we have read of it also in the life of the apostles. What did we read? We read, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Prayer and supplication. By which that church of God, after the ascension of Christ, did not want him to leave, right, children? They did not want him to go away. Why? Because they could speak with him every day. Oh, that was a beautiful time. They did not want that to go away. But now what do we read? Now we read they are in prayer and supplication as a church of God. And they are now laying before the Lord all the needs that are living in their heart, all the desires that are living in their heart. Thus, it didn't change. It didn't change. Even when the Lord had ascended into heaven, we heard, and he is sitting at the right hand of God. And then those apostles and those that love the Lord, then they continue to speak to him. Then they continue to pray to him. They continue to supplicate unto him. And then we read that it was with one accord. So all of them were together. What does that mean? That means that they did not have only that communion between themselves and the Lord, but there was a communion between them. That means that they were as those travelers to Emmaus. that they were of one heart and they were of one mind in their supplications, in their prayers unto the Lord. Thus, we read of the communion of the saints. When that one heart, that the Spirit of the Lord is working in His children, when that one heart is together, when they may understand one another, when they may communicate those intimate spiritual desires with one another. Thus, the communion with the Lord, the communion with one another. You say, what is now the other side? Because does that communion not go also two ways? Does something now also not come from heaven? Indeed. What is it now which these apostles, they are waiting for, that they are praying for here? Well, what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, wait for the promise of the Father, He said, which ye have heard of Me. Thus, He spoke about the coming of the Spirit of the Lord. That was the promise of the Father that was given unto His church. And it was now this gift, this Spirit of the Lord, that was the common desire of that church, that they are laying and they are asking the Lord if He will come, if He will fulfill His own promise, that is, that the Lord will do something, that they may experience something, that they may know also that the Lord lives, that the Lord, He is on the right hand of His Father. Thus, they are looking and they are waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. They have to wait for it. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, He says, that the times and the seasons, they are not in your own power. You cannot make that come to pass whenever you want. God's church cannot just bring down that Spirit of the Lord. They have to learn that the Lord, He is the Lord. He is the sovereign Lord. And they may ask it of Him, and they must ask it of Him. But the Lord, He is remaining on the throne. And yet we read there are temporal needs. They have souls' needs, that church of God. They have also temporal needs. Have you also temporal needs? You say, oh, I wish I could just, or that those temporal needs, that they would just disappear. Sometimes I wish I could just go sit on my chair and read the Bible all day long, that the Lord, He would be visiting my soul. But you cannot take away those temporal needs. And the Lord, He knows what those temporal needs are, and they had them too. Also in the church, because Judas, he has fallen away, and thus there is a place that needs to be fulfilled, an office within the church. And then what do? Then we read that they said two men, Joseph and Matthias, and then they vote. Is that right, children? And then they vote? No. You know what they did? You know what it says? Then they prayed. They prayed. They asked the Lord. They said, Lord, wilt Thou now show us, or wilt Thou communicate to us something from heaven? What is Thy will? What is living, O Lord, in Thy heart? That is what they wished to know. They had two men. They can choose a man. But they say, "Oh Lord, what dost thou want?" That was the one thing that lived all together within their heart. That man that would be placed there, that it would be by the will of the Lord. And thus they are seeking that communication from heaven. They are seeking the knowledge of the Lord's will from heaven. Oh, do we ask the same thing in these days? When in this week, the decisions need to be made. When a man, we hope, may be sent forth as a candidate. When there will be those to come before the curatorium and we must listen. And when we must make a decision, far reaching decisions, young people, children, for you, for your future, where will you be in this week? Or will we be congregation, though we be not gathered together? Will we be even as these in prayer and in supplication, with one heart, with a concern for the needs of the congregations, for the churches, for the honor, for the glory of the Lord, and that the men, as we are but men, that they make no mistake, but that the Lord, He is showing His will? Oh, there are spiritual needs, there are temporal needs, all to be laid before Him. But let us sing. Psalter 72, 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, "Come ye and seek my face," my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 72. that he might bring us to God, that he might bring us into his communion. How did the Lord answer the apostles? How did the Lord show to the apostles whom he had chosen? Well, you say, then they used the lot. They cast the lot. Thus the Lord, he showed them through his providence. And so it was. And so the Lord still, we must be careful. But the Lord, he is also sometimes directing through the ways of his providence for natural things. But how is the Lord now speaking unto his children concerning spiritual things? Read that it is through his word, by his spirit. Thus in the Old Testament, children, you know the Lord, he spoke directly of. He came actually in the form of a person, or he spake from heaven to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. Today that is different. Why? Because that word of God is now fulfilled. Thus the Lord, he is speaking to his people through his word by his spirit. That will and good pleasure of the Lord that is revealed in his word. From the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible, that is in a general way. That is coming to everyone to whom that word is coming. And then they may know the thoughts of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord, what he has spoken. Do you believe that? Thus, they may know what? Well, then it is saying how the Lord, he says, how high that he has created us. He says, how deeply we have fallen. He says, how that he has worked out the redemption of his people. We may read in the Lord, in that word, that the Lord, he delighteth in mercy. Thus, that is coming to everyone, that will of the Lord in a general way through that Holy Scripture, to whom that word is coming. And yet, is it so then that everyone that may come under that word, that they may receive that communion with the Lord? Say, no, that is not so. That is right. Because sin that has interrupted that communion, and the very depravity of man has made him unfit for this communion. Thus it is special grace alone. It is saving grace alone by which a man can receive that blessed communion with the Lord. And why? Well, because in regeneration, the Lord, he is giving faith. And faith, young people, you know, that is the hand. That is the means by which the Lord is giving unto his people spiritual blessings. Thus they cannot, no one can receive a spiritual blessing from the Lord without faith. Because they have not a hand to receive that blessing. What is a prayer without faith? What does the Bible say about prayer without faith? We read the apostle says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thus, without faith, prayer is no prayer, and prayer is certainly no communion. And the intents and the will of the Lord, how can they be known, how can they be received by a man in this world without faith? They are in the first place not designed for a people without it, nor can they be received by people without it, that he might bring them to God. The blessed purpose of the triune God by the atonement, the mediatorial sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied long ago already and also typified in that tabernacle where the Lord, he was dwelling in that holy of holies. And then the Lord said to Moses, he said, there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune with thee from off the mercy seat between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. Thus the typification of the communion that the Lord has promised through that mediator cannot come to the Father, from the Father, outside of that mediator. That is why we pray, children. We pray always in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Why? Because the Lord Jesus himself is now taking all that cry of his people, and at the right hand of his Father, he is presenting it unto him. And all the good things and the perfect things from above, from the Father, they are coming down to that church through that mediator. Thus there are communications of the Father being received by that church. And we ask you this afternoon, what do we know of this? What do we know of this? How long have we been reading in the Word of God? How many years has that Word of God been preached, been read to us? And now have we ever, in our whole life, received anything of this blessed communion? Say, that goes two ways. The first place, the Lord, he is giving a place. He is giving a place at his own footstool. What kind of a place? The Bible says, a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. O congregation, do we know of such a secret place? That is not known by a worldly man. That is not known by a mere religious professor in this world. But from the bottom of that horrible pit, in that miry clay, when that cry that is going up unto God, who hears the needy when they cry, and saves their souls when death draws nigh. And their soul that is given to cast the anchor within the veil unto him who both hears and answers prayer. Or they cannot do without an answer. They cannot do without heavenly communication. They cannot do without the speaking of the Lord. What did David say? He says, O Lord, say it unto my soul. I am thy salvation. That is a people, they will one day sing this poor man cry. And the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Oh, Do we know, young, old, do we know of such a secret place at the footstool of the Lord, where you may now relieve yourself of the most grievous burdens that are living in your heart, that there may be a moment that you may feel something of that communion? We do not say to explain it. How can it be explained? But to experience something that the Lord, He is lifting that load in that place of communion. Oh, the Lord, He has fellowship with His own people. He is giving them divine communications. Did you ever receive it out of the, or did the Word of God, was that always the same to you? Every time that you have read it, letters on a page, never meant more from my youth until this day than going to the house of God, coming home again from the house of God. But did the Lord ever show to you in a personal way His own mind? His own will. What do we read of Christ? He is the express image of the Father. What is an image, children? An image, a picture. The Lord Jesus Christ is called an image. In Him, the Father is revealing who He is. And when the Lord is now revealing something to that miserable people, then they may see something of who the Father is. And He may commune with them, maybe for just a blessed moment, of His mind, of His will. That His thoughts, they are thoughts of peace. And they are not thoughts of evil. Oh, that He is communing with them. He says, my thoughts are higher than thy thoughts. You thought it was impossible. And you thought that mountain of sin could never be taken away. You thought that polluted creature could never be cleansed. And when the Lord is opening to show something of that suffering and that atonement, and then showing the mind and the will of God Himself, and then that burden lifted from off those shoulders, that you may have a moment of blessed communion with God Himself, or congregation. This is still taking place in this day. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that, young people? The Lord is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the Lord was now finished gathering His church, that people with whom He will eternally commune, this world would have burned already. It would have burned already, but it is still here. His word that is still going out, because there are still those of His elect, and He will touch them by His Spirit. He will work in their heart a holy jealousy. Is there a holy jealousy in your heart for that blessed communion? What is now that communion working from the side again of that people? Always one way and that other way. Oh, then that people, then they are magnifying and they are glorifying the Lord. And their heart is going open once again. Like Mephibosheth. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Hannah, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Oh, that blessed communion beginning here already in this world. A song that the Bible says, no man can learn, whole world cannot learn. Why? Because it is part of that communion, that special communion between the Lord and his own children. No man can learn that song but the 144,000 that are redeemed from the earth. Oh, a blessed communion. Do you believe that? A private communion between God and the soul of that people. No one can enter into it. Not a husband, not a wife, not children. No one can enter into it. It is between God and the soul of that people. A blessed interchange of the most intimate mind and will of God and that people, coming into a blessed agreement one with the other, that he might bring us to God. O congregation, is it not a wonder? We come to the end of it. We come to the end of it. Oh, it was good to speak of it, but we could not enter into the smallest part of it. Oh, you feel it. It is so deep. It is so high. And we are but stammerers together in this world. What can we know of it? But a very, very small part, if we may know this. Oh, congregation, is there yet, though, a people who are wholly jealous? Say, oh, Lord, may I now also, may I now also be brought into that communion, that he might bring us to God. That is the beginning and that is the end. That is the beginning, children, young people, that is the beginning. That missing of him, that is the continuance. Job, he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would fill my mouth with arguments. Read of Esther. Oh, I have not been called to come in before the king for these 30 days. 30 days, people of the Lord. 30 days. Oh, the desire of that church by continuance. And that is now the end. And that relation shall be restored. And he shall bring in his people. And then there shall be no more a separation. And then that nearness, when he shall bring them to God, and when he will take them unto himself to be with him forever and forever. Oh, to be with him, to commune with him each and every day. Oh, how the suffering of that mediator, how that mediator will be magnified and glorified forever. Will you also be there? Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us the drawing of thy Holy Spirit. We read it in thy word. Lord, draw me. We will run after thee. When thou wilt draw us with such desires, then more also shall run. Oh, we beseech it of thee. Bless thy word. Forgive all of our many sins. And bring us to our homes with thoughts, with meditations. Oh, may it be with a crying heart, with a weeping heart. Wilt thou look upon us in this week, each one in the labors of their hands. Watch over those in the construction of the church. And wilt thou care for all that do travel to and fro in this world. Care for the mothers in their households, the fathers in their labors, the children at school, the young people wherever that they may be, and give that we and may be cured of all our worldliness and of all our sensuality, and that our treasure may be in heaven where thou art. We ask it to in the acknowledgement of thy help, for Jesus' sake, amen. 203, 1 through 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.